CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
To a jabbering mongo by proximity to tape recorders. It overstimulates him dreadfully. Can't you see that? Embarrassing.
Saul, that's the name of a store in East Harlem. Yes, call me Saul. It's on 112th Street and 3rd Avenue. It is. And then, okay, on 112th Street, there's a beauty parlor called Love Nest.
It's just this funny new tape jabbering.
But they forgot the word normal. It should have been normal Love Nest.
This is a whole personality that you've cooked up. I mean, wanderings, incredible, lightning associations, just for you turn into this weird, this thing whenever you're around a tape recorder.
But these
I don't know how to deal with it.
But it's life itself, Jack. You can't deal with life. Then why be alive? But you want to be alive, even though you say you want to be truly dead. Well, the phone number.
It isn't life.
Oh, it isn't?
It's being recorded.
It's fantasy being recorded.
Yeah.
Okay, out with the phone number. Peacock 2 to 300. Peacock 2 to 300. No, Peacock 2-3000.
Stop it! You've got to stop it!
I forgot one digit.
Oh my God, your mind is going! Oh, it's not worth it! Turn off the tape recorder! Tony, turn off the fucking... Turn it off, Tony! Tony, turn it off! My brain... It's not worth seeing it turning into that! I mean... It's as if I heard of somebody who once got an injection of pure cocaine into their system or something. Or no, somebody had replaced their cocaine with ammonia. So, and the guy was sitting on the toilet at the time he was shooting up. and his sister, when she wanted to get into the bathroom, pushed the door in, and it jangled against his knee, and he fell off the, slipped off the toilet and fell onto the floor, but his head split open like a melon because the ammonia had gotten in and eaten away the inside of his head like a rotten melon. And it just, well, I mean, that's like history. I don't want to see...
That's gotta be cut in now!
I mean, it'll be cut out, Tony. You're gonna have to cut that part out.
It's gonna be dubbed in.
God, what if Mario's mother found out?
It's definitely gonna be dubbed in, Jack.
True.
Say that we have to do it tonight, before you leave. It can be done.
I think it's okay, I don't know.
No, not my name. No. Not my real name. And if Jack wouldn't do it, you must play the tape back for me, and every time he says my real name, I'll say Mario for him. He doesn't say it for me. I'll dub it in for him.
We could have a burst of Latin music.
It's Mario!
I'll tell you.
Mario!
my Mediterranean villa here in Tangiers. And here I am in the glamorous de-internationalized zone city. Intercortisone, extra hormone, estrogenous, monstrosimony, quinio, super gilded city of Tangiers, in my rotunda, surrounded by Spanish antiques, and my parrot, Scheherazade, to whom I feed used rhinestone jewelry. And I am visited by my dearest super friend, Frances Francine. Sigh her name, sing her fame, ex-star of hermaphrodite star of sideshows, and superstar of flaming creatures, a Jack Smith Cinema Rock presentation. Watch out for it at your nearest theater. What is that? Do I think I hear Francine at the door? At my great big gilded pure mahogany, foot thick Spanish Moroccan door with carvings? Let me just go mincing over to it and fling it open and see if Francine is there, because I'm expecting her for poisoned tea and cupcakes with suspicious green icing, and we lap it up, hoping that each other will die so we can pick each other's costume jewelry off. And it's just a fight between ladies to see which one succumbs, first of all, to the most super dangerous poisons, so the other one can get the other one's jewels, darling.
Mavis, darling, how nice to see you.
True, don't ever forget my pseudonym, my nom de plume, which I use in my super glamorous isolation here. My past is dead. Remember, I came out of nowhere, Francine. A woman from nowhere, like yourself. Francine, what is that? Is that sort of like a traveling costume?
Well, it's a two-piece ensemble. Can be used for evening, be used for a cape with the stole behind.
Isn't that a little heavy for tropical?
Not particularly. It's lace of the finest.
This is a
fantastic.
True. But this is a difficult monsoon season.
Yes,
I
darling.
I think it would get sort of soggy, all that.
No, lace is always cooling.
That's right, yeah, I didn't think of that. True. Mohammed, bring us some cool, refreshing drinks.
Oh, lovely.
That
music
is your most spectacular goosey-mire yet that you've ever whipped up together.
Thank you.
It's a gigantic gold turban. I don't know how to describe it. With a pink, half cascading down the half of the side of your body is this pink taffeta held in place by a shimmering brooch, and the other half of your body is covered with a cascade of lace. And your jewels.
I had never noticed until now how nice black looked upon you. And with that white, that lovely white flower stuck in the middle of your hair.
It's a water lily.
Very becoming.
It doesn't look like it's plastic, does it?
No, it doesn't, is it?
You'd never guess.
I was going to say how original. Out here, to find a water lily is a very rare thing.
True. I think I'll feed my parrots. Scheherazade, darling. Scheherazade, open up your disfigured beak. I think I have an old brooch that I'll give you today. Say it again, dear. Say it. Scheherazade, drag her off to the cellar. She became too obstreperous and overstimulated at the thought of one of my brooches. Ha! Drag her off, screaming. Let me serve you some poisoned tea, dear.
All right, darling, if you have some tea.
Yes, dear, I'll have some too. Let me see. Let me just wave my ring around over it.
Mabel, get your dirty fingernails out of that cup.
No, I couldn't help it. I was opening my poison ring and I happened to get my brooch happened to fall in it.
But take your brooch out, darling. We don't need any shrapnel in the coffee.
Well, we'll all be dead someday. Won't we, Mavis?
Squirtly, dearie.
Mavis, what am I saying? I'm Mavis. I think I'll do a sensuous Near Eastern dance. Francine, give
yes,
me
darling.
My finger symbols.
Here they are.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
The most brazen thing I've ever done.
What's that?
I'm going to dance.
Marvelous.
A snaky dance in front of my cage of pent-up Mongolian idiots.
Aren't you afraid of what they might do?
Yes. They might become madly overstimulated.
You'd better be careful.
Is that cruel of me?
Yes. It'll be cruel for you, too.
It's no use. They'll never break out the balls of aid, of inlaid porphyry.
Inlaid whom? Ah, the dance begins.
Every pin through. cage of Mongolian idiots became wildly overstimulated. They frigged off against the bars of their cage as the madly desirable Mavis Davis danced her cock-teasing dance of the seven senses before the porphyry bars of their cages, and their twisted Mongolian cocks stuck out of the bars, and they jerked off madly, and their overstimulated cries made the shrill summer air simply shimmer with concupiscence.
Do I overstimulate you, my little darlings?
Mongolian idiots. A shudder ran through the whole cage, and all of them sank back exhausted, coming and creaming uncontrollable and jerking off and freaking off as Mad Mavis danced her mad, sensuous, snaky dance and drove them mad. Gilded siren, the flaming cock teaser. She sank to the floor, sprawled upon it, upon the gleaming onyx, and opened her décolletage and pulled out one bun, and she laid there caressing her body as the helpless Mongolian idiots went up in flames. She sang a song of ribald cock-teasing attributes. after her death, Universal Movie Studios has dug up the body of Miss Montez because it Epics and came back, and Universal was overcome by melancholy for their vanished star, who brought in such gilded profits during the war years, and so they dug her up, and the makeup department devised a special makeup, to reconstruct her face, which was a secret recipe, including plaster, shredded movie magazines, chicken fat, and they would pat the whole thing into shape before each take on her scenes, although occasionally chunks of it would drop off and fall off into the pool of midnight, which was filled with Shalimar perfume, which was where they were working on Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, the flick that they made at that time. And chunks of it would fall off into the pool of midnight, and the pearl diving creatures had to dive in and spear it and bring it back, or else she would cover her mistake by whipping up a fan over her face, and they would go on with the scene. And a few things like that, incidents like that during the film, and the whole thing got a sort of a slightly shabby feeling about the movie, but that only made it more interesting as it was being directed by Jack Smith, the raging movie director who gained notoriety and attention through his film, The Flaming Creatures. The whole Universal Movie Studio, the only studio under Scorpio, Miss Montez was a Gemini, was bursting into flames, was flaming that day, and the whole shithouse was burning, actually, when the gilded scene transpired, which occurred when Arthur Lubin rushed in to request Miss Montez's presence upon the set at the pool of midnight. And Miss Montez was in her dressing room.
Every time I look at myself in the mirror, I could scream, I'm so beautiful.
True, another gilded aphorism of Maria Montez's.
Dum, dum, ding, dum, ding, dum, dum, ding, dum, dum. Oh, and it's, oh, I wonder could that be?
Look, anyway, there's a reporter here to see you from,
Gloria Thing is my name. Well, Miss Montez, it certainly is a gilded privilege to come into your set and interview you, lying there, all soaking with Shalimar perfume. I can hardly see you, but, couldn't we open a window and... Oh, all right. Hardly breathe.
You are a very unusual creature, you.
I'm the Siren of Hearst.
A what?
Brenda Starr of reality. Gloria Thing.
Heaven.
Well, dear, I see that you have a lot of makeup on your table. Rouges and plaster.
Not anyone or everyone is born beautiful.
But you are a raging beauty. Why do you say that?
Well, only because of Helena Rubinstein. Whenever. Whenever I look into the mirror, I just scream with joy. I am so beautiful. Even though I use Helena Rubinstein's makeup, I am still beautiful.
Idiotic, I'm sure. Well, to try to continue, have you read Jack Smith's article in Film Culture?
Who is Jack Smith?
He's a flaming movie producer the producer of Flaming Creatures.
Flaming Creatures?
True. It's a gilded extravaganza.
But why would he write about me?
I love your jewels, dear.
My jewels?
Yes.
Why?
Aren't they heavy? So
no.
Much of it.
No.
I love your pills.
My what?
Pills.
Pills? Pills?
Pearls.
Oh, my pearls.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're so pedunculated. Mr. Bay, would you please wave the fan a little bit over here to clear away some of the fumes? Miss Montez, I've heard that Shalimar is your favorite perfume. Could that be true?
Yes, it is. I've been using it since I was 13.
Really?
Yes.
In the convent?
Well, the sisters there tried...
What is the true story, dear, about your leaving the convent? Santa Maria, what was it? Which convent was it, dear?
The Santa Maria convent.
Where was it?
Oh, on some island near Dominican Republic. I cannot remember the name. But who cares about the name, anyhow?
Well, everything sort of gets a name after a while.
Well, the reason I left that lousy convent was because one of the so-called sisters made a pass at me.
That lesbian. Well, one encounters lesbian longings in convents and railroad stations and any place wherever women get together. Urinals.
Hey,
gay bars.
Hey, what's going on?
Miss Montez, a caravan load of fan mail for you.
Really? Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Oh, let's see. Dear Miss Montez, whether you were the ruler of a tropical island paradise, a princess in ancient Baghdad, or Queen Antinia of the lost continent of the Atlantis surrounded by the sands of the Sahara, no one ever added quite so much to quite such little as the fiery Latin beauty called Maria Montez. Well equipped you are with spectacular beauty, a regal bearing, and flowing gowns, where you could make a dialogue like, "I am here to tempt the hearts of men," seem very feasible. Your rich, full voice and French, Spanish accent may even the most trivial thing that you seem vibrant and seductive. Mine.
Idiot, not yet. That was Arthur Lubin, the director of Miss Montez's flick, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. missing a cue. But she was just reading a fan letter to herself, and now she's suddenly interrupted.
Every time I look at myself in the mirror, I could scream, I'm so beautiful!
Hey, Montez, let's hurry out, okay?
Okay, Adwa Levine. Coming. As soon as I finish looking at myself in the mirror, because I am so beautiful, I could scream!
Okay, here we are on the pool set. Montez, you sit down here.
Wait, no, I have to... A chunk of her face has fallen off. It's a little disgusting. I think it'll be too noticeable. I mean, super noticeable, because the whole bottom, the flesh from the bottom part of her face has dropped off and all that. And the hideous grinning skull is showing through. It's I think it has to be repaired a little bit. Hand me that chunk of flesh that's down there by her foot. I don't... No, I'll try to plaster it back on her.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's think nothing of it. That's all right. I guess Mr. Lubin, I suppose you could proceed now. I'll... There.
All right, is she all set? John?
One moment,
John,
please.
You stand over here.
One moment,
and,
please.
And Montez, you
the
get out of the middle of it.
It's too cold.
Try it again. Let me turn off the thermostat here.
It looks like that wall has collapsed.
Well, it'll have to do. Can't
much
get the,
better.
Yes.
I think it's slightly better now.
Well, let us slip on these... let us slip on these skin-tight diving suit here.
My God, careful, don't touch her. You want that chunk of flesh to fall off her arm?
Right?
It takes half an hour to place it, pat it back in place. God,
okay.
That stuff falls off in the middle of a shot.
John, begin with that line.
I prop her up in the water over there.
Hello, how are you? We'll start from there.
Turn the sound up.
Okay, John.
Ooh, God, this stuff is cold.
That's right, come in from the left.
I can hardly breathe.
Hello. Where are you? I'm curious to see you.
I feed on the curiosity of foolish men.
If I had 1,000 pieces of gold, I would give them all for you.
1,000 pieces of gold? That's not enough. My price is high. My mistress awaits my coming.
Who may your mistress be that you grudge me a few minutes of your company?
She's the betrothed of Fulagu Khan.
Yeah, that's much
return
better.
To your mistress then.
Wait.
But no,
a chunk of flesh has fallen off her cheek. And,
look,
honey, whip up your fan over your face and then you just cover that. Okay, let's go ahead with it. I don't want to stop the shot. But,
okay.
Plus, the makeup is running off into the water.
Someday, I will buy you for my very own.
Is it you,
Lucas Lake,
to please
the
money?
All right, cut.
God, look, I think the Shalmar is eating away on the rouge. And there's a red stain around where she was standing.
Oh,
God,
no,
look, a chunk of flesh is slipping off into the waters. It seems to eat away at the makeup, you know, and the flesh, and then the rouge comes off and it looks gray under there.
We can't work with the whole cast screaming at every time she steps in the pool.
Yeah, get those homo set decorators off the set. Goddamn fairies starting clotting up in bunches and fucking each other. Well, I guess you have to. You can't get artistic results with normals. The extras were put to work dashing Chalamar perfume upon the fire, which was inflaming the whole studio. Meanwhile, the moon pool set went up in flames, unfortunately, because the Chalamar was highly inflammable. So they started another picture, which was entitled White Savage, wherein the voice that was being dubbed in for Miss Montez's corpse was found to be too effeminate, and so it was used for Sabu's voice, which will explain why the same voice is now playing Sabu. And it was indeed found that one of the homo set decorators, whose voice was actually approximated Miss Montez's, more nearly, appositely, therefore his or her or its voice was used instead. Mr. Lubin is now attempting to direct the two, Miss Montez's corpse and the mass of people that were supporting it with props and things from behind, hence the genesis of the word prop, theatrical props.
Let's see, this is the scene where you start off with the line, hello, Montez. Let's commence.
Hello, Montez. How are you today?
Why have you come here? You know that if you are intercepted by the guards, you will be thrown into the Cobra Pit. Yes.
But I just came to dig you.
To dig my beauty?
Yes.
Ah. My fool. Dash Chalamar perfume upon me. No, no, that shit is inflammable. Ugh, God, I have to keep away from the incense burners now. Oh, God.
What is this sacred pool that you have on this island?
Some of my jewels have fallen into the moon pool.
Jewels?
They must be retrieved.
Retrieved? Why?
Well, because the, I can't say exactly, but it has something to do with the...
Cut, just a minute. Wait, I want to have the cameraman shoot that shot of Montez from between Sabu's legs. Here, get under here and shoot up so you get the good profile.
But he has a pedunculated scrotum.
Well, if it hangs down into the picture, we can edit it out later, Montez. Actually,
now, these jewels... for what purpose do you want so... I don't mind you having jewels, but so many of them at once.
They were going to be offered to King Cobra, because today is the High Cobra ceremony.
King Cobra?
Yes.
You mean...
All the jewels on the island are being scraped up and being flung into the pit of flames to a sacrifice for King Cobra. The flames are coming nearer. Soon they will engulf this set too.
Well, do you want me to dive into the pool?
Yes, Sabu. And bring me the Cobra too.
Okay, if you insist. Here I go, watch me.
Splash. Ah, you have re-emerged. Give me the Cobra tool.
Here, this is all I can get.
Now I must hurry off to the cobra ceremony. Finally, the flames consumed the moon pool set on White Savage, and so the only set left on the lot was the marketplace set. And so the brave little company moved on there and started photographing what was to be a last Miss Montez's last posthumous movie entitled The Bag of Baghdad. In this scene, Miss Montez is being sold and her caravan loaded with costume jewelry has been captured. And so she's now being sold into slavery as a common dancing girl. Shit. I think I will dance.
Let us see. Come on, let's see if you can dance here. Come on, girl. Let's see you dance. Dance with the customers here.
Well, my costume jewelry is rattling as I dance. It's so much better. Oops. Oh my God. Miss Montez's body is completely collapsing and all the flesh is falling off and it's just a hideous dancing skeleton. Oh. That's loathsome, stop it!
Thank you.
Then wait, then I'll read a little of this, and then you could go on to another incident, like when you passed out. And then I could read another... And then you could...
Oh, listen, no, at the I'm not gonna win. Jack, we're not gonna waste any time, and I'm not gonna go through that. If that's what you've got in mind, you might as well stop now. No, thank you.
Well, I wanted you to stay as your character as to sort of milk that dry.
There's no sense to it, Jack. Because you see, the great Moldy Triumph, you've heard it, we've heard it, almost everybody has heard it because you've read it to people. It wouldn't be fun anymore. The fun is out of it now. We drain that just about as dry as you can drain it. Between ourselves, okay, maybe other people haven't heard it, but to me, it's a.
The Great Moldy Triumph. You mean... Well, I'll read the first paragraph. And if I feel like going on, I'll try, but maybe I won't. The roly-poly flotilla girls manned the bridge of the gleaming new luxury liner, the SS Francis Francine. And the Francine had been famous in wartime for masquerading as a floating ladyfinger, and when surrounded by enemy ships, erupting into a smokescreen bubbles as her spunky aquamarines pulled out their plugs. After the war, she was converted into a luxury liner and massaged over the scalp with a champagne bottle and all hung with costume jewelry. She slipped into the bubbly briny, and the tap-dancing flotilla girls saluted smartly, and their hairy scrotums mashed up under their spangled dance panties. Do you like that?
What's that about dance panties?
Do you like that, Frankie?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Is it irreverent of...
Did he...
American woman.
Put your dance panties off?
No, I just don't like that. That's sort of and their hairy scrotums. Marvelous. I mean, really.
Heavenly.
Oh, Frankie, I think
you. No, Frankie. Mm-hmm. Didn't you have to want at one time and display the sexes of two sexes on one body? To make a living, didn't you?
Heavenly phantom of the night, what is this thing that gives you fright?
Doctor, tell me, please. Is my brain a germ or a disease?
Right now, below the knees.
And the ship floated on the...
And a good ship, lollipop.
On the lapping Atlantic, tweaked by the moon between nascent continents. Continents of nations, damn typo. Tides that lap, wash and lap. Like if typists don't understand a word, why do they put in a new word? Tides that wash and lap, like old bubble backwash. If the world could be considered the inside of a washing machine with no clothes, no soap, no bleach, no point, awash forever, and churned by paddles. In this mood of frivolity, and that the world and everything in it is a mess of moldy laundry, alluringly grinding away like a rusty 1910 washing machine, its churning interior, churning and pouting, hypnotizing children that stare into them like a bird flying through corridors of ape mop water. Man,
oh, mother.
Man, I was a churning interior.
Man, not yet being man, pulled by the tide through the foaming slosh, pinpointed back as the whole cold ocean pulsated small again, then breaks and crashes against the porthole of the washer with furry noses pressed against it, and the clotted, seething lace panties and scanties, all silk and pink and brown stained, fomenting and storming and heaving and exploding in giant waves that threaten to extinguish libraries. The SS Francine floated giddy like some gilded bedroom slipper in an ocean of Weltschmelz. Oh, what can save the tweaky sequin slipper from sadness?
Scotch tape, a piece of scotch tape.
And streamers draped around phonograph morning glories that thrummed in all the cabins, all playing Jane Powell's record of the Oceana Roll. I'm the only one who is faithful to my movie stars. All movies were shown in the theater of the FF in the evening. Maria Montez flicks were the most shown.
Old movies never die, we just send them to Europe.
Also, Judy Canova flicks were popular. Usually there was no one on the bridge at such times, or even ever, and the flotilla girls were usually down in the bilge with the stokers. And that, oh, moldy, moldy, moldy writing.
Let me read something.
Oh, some of this is too purple for words. I can't go on. If you can read it, if you can bring yourself to read
it. And Judy Canova flicks were popular. Usually there was no one on the bridge at such times, or even ever in the flotilla of girls were usually down in the bilge with the stokers and that breed of creatures who position themselves underneath the ribaldness.
Said the buffalo to